Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Monday, October 10th, 2016. With me today, I have John Martellaro. How are you, John?
I'm good. Good morning.
Good morning. It's good to have you here. Brian Chaffin, how are you?
I am showing someone the joys of iOS 10 iMessage, like stickers and, you know, handwriting. And
that's awesome. I hope you're using my sticker pack, just because it's all about me.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Excellent. This is why I love you, man.
I still don't understand why it's not in Sierra. It's really weird. Doesn't it seem like it's weird?
It does seem kind of weird to me. We can see them. Why can't we use them?
Yeah, man, I know it'll come in the next OS, but it seems it's one of those times when I get annoyed at Apple's stalled or staggered rollouts.
Yeah. But hey, speaking of operating systems, tomorrow is October 11th. Do you like how I did a Brian a transition?
Yeah, you needed to rein me in. Rein me in, man.
I was letting you go because it's set up for me to tell everyone that October 11th, I'm speaking at the Mac and Tech user group in Colorado, and I'm going to be talking about macOS Sierra and iOS 10. I'll have a link in the show notes so that if you're in the area or not, you can still see what's up, and it's going to be a lot of fun. The Mac and Tech user group, they're a fun group, so I'm looking forward to that. And that's why I let you go for a minute, Brian, was because you're talking about operating system, and I was using you as a setup to tell people to come hang out with me tomorrow night.
Word.
Hey, Brian?
Yeah, brother. What's up?
Do you know that sometimes phones are bombs?
Speaking of hair on fire.
Yeah. Are we talking about Samsung?
Let's talk about Samsung.
You know what I saw? It's just like so. It was kind of horrific. Someone did a game mod for one of the, I think it was a Grand Theft Auto.
It's Grand Theft Auto. The video is so inappropriate, and yet I can't stop watching it.
Yeah, it's kind of a too soon. The person uses Samsung 7s as a weapon. Samsung Note 7s is a weapon, and it's
yeah, you throw them like bombs, and they explode, and just seeing a guy in a suit running up and down the street, checking phones and blowing up cars, it was.
So Samsung, this company, I tell you, man, this company. So Samsung, there's a guy who got a Note 7s are blowing up, catching fire, exploding. And they're doing this because there's a problem, an issue with the battery. And the reason why there's an issue with the battery, it's not just they outsourced something wrong. It's because they were trying to steal a march on Apple, right? Samsung heard that iPhone 7 wasn't going to have anything that was new or good. So they're like, oh, my God. Well, let's make sure that we have our Note 7 out, because then all the people are going to buy the Note 7 and they're not going to buy the iPhone. LOL, we're going to have lots of Android devices sold. So they push everybody, right? The whole team behind the Note 7 gets involved with making getting the Note 7 ready to ship, I think, 2 weeks earlier, which is a tremendous deal for any company when you're talking about a product where you're making millions of units.
Mm-hmm.
This is what Jean-Louis Gasset called the spreadsheet windshield.
Yeah.
Tell me what that means.
It means that you drive the company through the windshield of every little dime you could make, and you're obsessed with the spreadsheet numbers as opposed to satisfying the customer, which in turn generates loyalty and revenue automatically instead of by force.
Yeah. All right. Fair enough. There's a problem with the batteries. These things are exploding. It's a big issue. And then replacement Note 7s are also exploding. So someone they did a recall, right? So people could turn in their Note 7, they get a replacement unit, and some of those are catching fire and exploding.
That's got to just really instill a sense of confidence in this device.
Absolutely. And I mean, the Note product line is dead. I mean, it's been utterly destroyed in terms of brand reputation. I mean, Samsung did, over the weekend, suspended sales of the device. There's not going to be a Note 8. There's no way in heck this company could be stupid enough to release the Note 8 next year. They're just going to have to kill the Note 7, you know, come up with another name for the large form factor. And it's they are wreaking probably billions of dollars worth of damage on their own brand. So anyway, here's a guy. He's got a replacement Note 7. He lives in Kentucky. He's got a replacement Note 7. And he wakes up and his bedroom is filled with smoke. And he looks over and his Note 7's on fire. It's a replacement unit. It's not plugged in. It's not charging. It's just on fire.
Oh, man. So not even charging it. Oh, man. Okay.
He says, I wasn't there.
Right. Nonetheless, phone was on fire.
His phone was on fire. So he says. And, you know, he ends up like he's not the next day. He's not feeling very well. He goes to the hospital. He says that he was vomiting black liquid or something. I don't know, whatever. Poor guy. And he's talking to Samsung about it. And he ended up getting a text from a Samsung representative. And that text, and he showed a local CBS affiliate TV station, news station, the text. Let's say, and they believe that it's real. I wasn't there. But a Samsung representative sent him a text, surely by mistake. And that text is, and I quote, "Just now got this. I can try and slow him down if we think it will matter, or we just let him do what he keeps threatening to do and see if he does it. Try to slow him down."
Holy crap.
I mean, it's callous. It is. It shows that they're not interested in taking care. They're not interested in solving the problem. They're much more interested in trying to minimize damage, control damage, contain damage. They tried to get the device from him, of course, as any company would. And sure. He was smart enough to keep hold of it. And now he's saying he's looking for legal help. He intends to sue. There are going to be class actions lawsuits on this. This is going to be one of the first class action lawsuits not one of the first, but it's going to be one of the few class action lawsuits that I can personally get behind. Because this business with the Note 7 is self-inflicted. And Samsung has only itself to blame, and it all stems from their delusions of relevance.
And when they announced, and I'm doing air quotes, when they announced that they were halting sales of the Note 7, they did it during the U.S. presidential debate.
To minimize exposure.
You're right. So
I'm wondering
that's going to stop the echo, the tech echo chamber from talking about it.
Nah. I'm kind of wondering about the mathematics of this. Just curious about this. You know, if you've got a 0.5% likelihood because of production that one's going to go bad, then you're going to get a few hundred out of a few million. And if you have a different manufacturing process ramped up, or you had older batteries that had been certified in an older process, and you were able to ramp up and deliver different older batteries or through a different manufacturing process that had a different statistical failure rate, then you wouldn't expect too many of the replacement phones to have troubles. But if you perceive it to be a problem where you can replace a bad phone with the same old batteries that have the same statistical problem, then the chances are better that the replacement batteries are going to have a problem too. And I'm kind of curious about that.
Well, so is the issue here? And at this point, I'm hardly even interested in the specifics, to be honest. I mean, I'm much more interested in the bigger picture on this. But as far as those specifics go, it was the problem that there was an issue with the batteries that were sourced, or is the problem that there is a design flaw in the device, in the case? Like, one of the things I saw fairly early in on this was that the battery is too big for the space that it's fitting. So that's not like a bunch of bum batteries because they you know, outsourced to some cheap place. It's just bad design.
That's not good.
And it's all, again, it's because they thought they could steal a march. They thought they could steal a march on Apple. No one gives a crap about Samsung devices. Samsung devices are just like any other Android devices. They just happen to be the most popular at the moment. Samsung doesn't matter, and they think they matter. They desperately want to matter. They so want to matter. They so want to feel like they've got the same sort of significance as a company like Apple, and they don't.
And they do matter now, Brian, but not in the way they want to matter. They matter in that if you try and get on an airplane with the Samsung device now, regardless of what it is, the airlines are thinking twice about whether or not you can actually bring it on the plane. If you have a Note 7, good luck with that. But all Samsung devices on airlines, by and large, are required to be shut off for the duration of the flight. Not in a sleep mode or airplane mode, completely powered down.
And the reality is that none of these other devices are having this problem. This is specific to the Note 7.
No, but this is indicative of the distrust that Samsung has to deal with now.
Billions of dollars in damage to their crappy brand.
I've heard that it might cost them $5 billion. I was reading another article this morning. You know, when I hear about this, I can't help but thinking about the A10 Fusion and Apple's innovation with the low power, high efficiency cores as a better way to extract battery life from a current battery, as opposed to trying to cram every last engineering ounce of performance out of the battery you have.
Yeah, well, maybe someone should talk to you.
It's just, I can't help but thinking about all this in the framework of the clever things that Apple does. The low power expertise they have, the A10 Fusion cores, the quality control.
So important to hold to control the software and the hardware. This is the advantage of the whole widget model. Apple can do things Samsung could never ever do because Samsung doesn't do software. They don't do operating systems. Google could maybe do this, and maybe Google will do this with its Nexus line as it continues. I'm sorry, what's it called?
The Pixel.
The Pixel line, as it continues to develop that product. They're not there yet. But Google could eventually do this. But Samsung can't because Samsung doesn't matter. Samsung. Go ahead, John. Were you saying something?
Hair on fire.
All right. Brian, you're pretty wound up, and I don't want you to have a stroke or an aneurysm on me. So what I'm thinking is we should just switch topics because we've all accepted that Samsung is not capable right now of making a Note 7 that does not have quality issues and safety issues. So how about if we instead talk about whether or not it's okay for me to have sex with a robot, John?
This all starts from Friday's Particle Debris, where I talked about the unintended consequences of artificial intelligence. I've been reading a lot about it lately. One of the articles that caught my attention was an article at the Telegraph in the UK about Westworld series coming up on HBO, the ethics of sex with robots. There's a delicate balance between the sentience of the android. I prefer to use that word, human-like robot. If it's intelligent and sensitive and human enough to respond in a way that would be desirable, it may have its own will. And then the question is, you know, does it have human rights? And if not, then is it just a big oversized mechanical toy that's kind of creepy to be seen with or purchased? So there is that delicate balance about when the robot, when the androids become human and sentient, and what kind of rights they have. And then there's the question about, and that's my own initiative, this wasn't in the article, about whether it's a good idea to have a doctor's prescription for a sex surrogate for those people who need therapy, and this is a good way to go, or whether you'll be able to eventually just walk into Target and buy one of these devices and take it home and do unboxing photos.
The jokes, right?
So that's one of the things that this article at Telegraph talks about. It's the best article I've seen on the ethics of human sex with robots. But there are other unintended consequences, too. I've been exchanging some email with a science fiction author about the classes of AI intelligence, and that this seems like there's something to explore there. It's well known in science fiction that there's this Kardashev scale of galactic civilizations, and so it inspired me to think about this classifying intelligences according to scales. And Siri 2016 and Cortana might be, you know, class one, the next level of artificial intelligence that has the intelligence and scope of a 10-year-old child, some reasoning power and access to internet, would be maybe class two. Maybe a young person who has access to petabytes of data and can pass the Turing test would be class three. Maybe something like Watson would be class four. And you can work your way up. And right away, it raises in my mind some interesting issues about whether sufficiently sophisticated AI agents should be allowed to have conversations with human beings, whether they're doing robocalls or whether they're salesmen or whether they're customer service relations. AI agents, the question there is, are human beings equipped to cope with and confront extremely sophisticated AI agents? I sent out a tweet over the weekend. It says, basically, my AI agent tells me it bought a car for me, and I go, well, that wasn't authorized. And my AI agent says, well, I'm only class four. I just was helpless against this class seven agent that called me and talked me into buying a new car for you. So there's that. And then there's the unforeseen, maybe not unforeseen, maybe unexpected or unfleshed out consequences of intelligent agents put into law enforcement drones that make their decisions about suspicious activity and hold people until human officers arrive. Yeah. So, you know, as soon as these AI agents become sufficiently powerful, they're going to be pressed into service for the service of companies that are wanting to get a return on their investment. And there's all sorts of things that could be going on in that response, you know, in the effort to exploit the power of AI agents, whether it's robocalls trying to get you to go on that all expense paid Caribbean tour. Another thing is that nations could start using AI agents against each other for strategic planning. I was thinking of an example the other day where, for example, we have this magnificent Watson version 5 strategically trained agent that's a consultant to the Office of Director of National Intelligence, and Russia's tanks roll across the Ukraine and just, like, you know, they just sort of take over the entire country. And the AI agent comes back and says, and we ask him, what should we do? And it says, bomb North Korea. And you go, we need some insight into the thinking process. And that brings up another issue, too, is do we need to design AI agents so that they can communicate to us effectively their thought process and rationale? And even if we do, will we be able to understand the rationale of intelligent agents as they explain their thinking to a human in deciding on a course of action, whether it's a legal case? What if you go into court with your class four agent and the district attorney has a class seven agent, and you're completely outclassed in terms of access to databases and analysis in Watson-like style.
Now you're going max headroom on me. And for max headroom fans, you had a computer that would determine the outcome of a court case, and you take your disk and pop it into the machine. It analyzes the data and tells you who won.
Well, you know, suppose your phone buys something for you because it's maneuvered by a more intelligent AI agent, and you go to court, and the judge turns out to be another AI agent and says, "Sorry, you lose."
All right.
So this is what I wrote about on Friday, and it was pretty popular.
All right, so we're like pretty much out of time, but before we go, I'm going to ask the all important question, and yes, I will answer it too, John. Would you have sex with an android?
I don't know.
All right, Brian?
I'm married. I'm happily married, so the answer is no.
Yeah, by the way, way too late on that response, sir. That was...
But nice was, try at a save.
I mean, the correct answer was, well, no, of course not. Anyway, so if I was... single and uncommitted, and there was, yeah, probably. I don't know. I don't want to. It's not something I desire to do per se, but I could definitely see doing it, and I certainly think that this would put a lot of sex workers out of business.
It probably would.
Yeah, and could. All sorts of societal implications there, huh?
Yeah, of course. And I said I'd answer as well, so I guess I better. And I've been actually really thinking about what I would do, and I think it would be an interesting experience to see what it's like. So, yes, I would do it. I don't know if I would
good.
Do it.
Oh, that's a good
often,
answer.
But yeah, I would do.
That's
I would do.
A pretty
it.
Good answer. That was like, I mean, that was pro level.
Oh, thanks.
You know, it's all about the, you know, it's just, you taking one for the team.
Yeah.
What are you going to do if she's so sentient and she says, I have a headache?
What, John, I have a better question.
Then I'll reboot her.
Reboot.
John.
And upgrade the firmware.
I have a better question. What are you going to do if your wife hears this episode?
My wife is a college professor in computer science, so I think she'll be very amused.
That's a
no
good
doubt.
Answer.
No all doubt, another good answer.
Yeah. All right, hey, we are out of time, so we have to wrap up. Brian, thank you so much for being here.
Yep.
John, thank you for being here as well. And apparently,
I don't know what that
his
was.
Sex robot was just delivered. Listeners, oh. Listeners, thank you for being here. And come hang out with me tomorrow evening at the Mac and Tech User Group. We'll have a lot of fun. And we'll see everyone again tomorrow.